Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be assembled together in your name. And Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand the third pole, because something the prophet said, I shall not say anything about it, lest the devil do great damage. So we want to be careful in how we approach it, but yet we do want to analyze it, Lord, with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to continue with our study of the third pole. We kind of touched on it last week a little bit, and we'll pick up where we left off. But remember, it's all the way through the scriptures. I mean, Moses had a third pole of his ministry, and so did Noah have a third pole, and even Jesus had a third pole. So not every prophet had one, but certain prophets did. And we want to be acknowledging that. So this morning we will show you how William Branham had three poles also of his ministry, and we'll also show you how it was revealed and manifested to us. Now, remember, if the prophet couldn't say anything about it, we shouldn't say anything about it either, but we can say what he said about it, all right? And that's where we'll be this morning. So I'm going to read you a lot of quotes, but I'm also going to categorize some of these things that happened in his ministry. So we'll pick up with where he said, as it was, as the Father sent me, so I send you, and the works that I do shall you do also. Now, Brother Branham's third pole was also like Moses' third pole in his ministry, where he was given the speaking of the word. His first evidence was a restoration of life, in other words, to a fish, and then showing he's the resurrection and the life, that Christ is the resurrection and life, and he made death stand still. So he tied it with five loaves and fishes spoken, which were already cooked. Now remember, Jesus' spoken word produced fish. So it's interesting that Brother Branham had a spoken word moment where the fish was given life. Okay. His second time were with the squirrels. And here we see the power of the spoken word of life by creation. We also saw the manna in the wilderness and the different things that gave life to the people, that was by the spoken word of God, the water, and et cetera. Remember, when Moses tried to do other than speak the word, he got rebuked for it. You know, he hit the thing. So the third time, it was manifested to us with Hattie Wright, and we see spiritual life or imparted life. And again, Jesus Christ, when he returned, actually, he imparted life to the apostles in the upper room. So, you know, we see that. And the fourth time we saw the manifestation of the power of the spoken word was when he was in the mountain of Colorado and a huge storm was stopped. And thus we see how the word produced a protection on the life. And fifth, we see manifestation of the word was when it was spoken over Meda and a tumor was that had been destroying her, thus sustained her life. So there's five different times the third pole was manifested in the life of William Branham. And from the seventh seal, he said, the seven angels, he said, I was in the west, and you remember the little bitty messengers, they went east. The second messengers, a dove, little bit large birds, they went east. And now I looked, and they was with me all the time. They was that first and second pole. Now the third came from the west, sweeping forward with great, terrific speed, and they picked me up. That was coming back east with the mystery of those seven seals, just like you said in Junior Jackson's dream, that the Lord let me interpret for him there on the inside of that pyramid. There was white stone that wasn't written on it. Now, I don't know if all of you have recognized or sometime while you've been in the message, but you've seen pictures of the rock that Brother Branham and said white eagle, and it was actually, I mean, it didn't say white eagle, it was written eagle, and it was in white, okay, on the stone. And that's also where Brother Branham, if you recall, he was on a hunting trip with the brothers, and he threw the stone up in the air, and when it came down, it started a whirlwind, and it went up toward Alaska, and Alaska just about sunk. Well, I have a piece of that stone, and I'm sure about 99, I'm sure about maybe 10% of the people in this message have a piece of that, because it was blown everywhere, and it was triangular in shape. So, but anyway, that's the reason I had to go west, said, to connect with these angels, come back here to reveal it to the church. So he had the vision like 6 months before the cloud appeared. And so he tells us a vision in, I think, December, and then in May, he had the actual occurrence take place. So you remember I said the next thing that will happen will be here at the church. That's just exactly right. So he had to go out there to, he saw it in a vision, had to go out there to meet and to bring, go up and bring back those seven seals, okay? Now, from the seven seals, he said, another thing I want you to know is what take place. And if you're listening to the tape of What Time Is It, Sirs, you will notice that one angel was very notable to me. Now, I don't know how to reckon that word, but notable would be either it looked like him or it was the one that appeared to him all the time. Okay, so that's all I can say about it. The rest is just speculation. But the rest of them just seemed ordinary. But this angel was a noted angel. He was to my left in the constellation in the form of a pyramid. And you remember it was in the pyramid where the mysterious white rock was not written on. And the angels took me into the pyramid of themselves, the mystery of God known only to them. Again, if we look at that picture now, Brother Vail had a picture that was taken from the original picture, okay? Brother Caldwell had gone down to Arizona, and he had gone to Dr. McDonald's office, and he had a copy made of the original. And it was so good that you could actually, if you held up a and Brother Vail had one about this size, and if you held up that glass, looking glass, it magnified a lot, and you could actually see faces in the cloud. And I remember Brother Brown telling Brother Hickerson, he said, I saw you in there, okay? Now, I saw that cloud in that picture on Brother Vail's table, and it was quite interesting, okay? I saw the faces. I couldn't make out who was who because, of course, there's a million faces there, so, they were just faces. But anyway, but I saw them myself, and so anyway, I don't know what happened. I don't know what that is as far as, Brother Bram said you have faith to believe what God is doing, but, you just don't understand it, And so I don't understand other than he said if we die, we have another one waiting, so a glorified body waiting. So, God had something, and all the saints, it says, come with him. So everybody that's going to be resurrected is probably was in that cloud in a theophonic form or something. I can't explain it. And you remember it was in the pyramid where the mysterious white rock was not written on. And the angels took me into that pyramid of themselves, the mysteries of God only, God known only to them. And now, they with a messenger that come to interpret the pyramid of the message of the secret of these seven seals, which lays with inside the pyramid. All right, and then again he says from the same message. Now the angel was to my left would really be the last or seventh angel if we could count them from left to right because he was on my left. He looking to me, me looking to him towards the west, his coming towards the east would be on the left side. So that would be the last angel's message, very notable. You remember how I said he had his head back, okay? And his great sharp wings and how he flew right to me. Now, that is the seventh seal. It still is a notable thing, and where we don't know what it is yet because it's not permitted to be broken. So, I'd love for the prophet to be here and ask him, what do you mean by notable? All I know is what the dictionary says, and basically that's all we can go with. So I guess we'll just have to leave it. So anyway, everybody just seemed to be right on the on the end of their seat, and everybody's standing around here at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, waiting for the doors to open to get up here in the front, standing around the walls, cramped limbs and everything. What is it? It's been the Holy Spirit sending those down, these messengers, and they have been revealing it to us. And then notice how it's dovetailed with the word exactly. All right. Again, I'm just reading what he said. I can't add to it. Standing in the gap, he said, and there was 3 outstanding peaks. He said, those 3 peaks are the first, second, and third pole. The first one was the first part of your ministry, the small hill, then your first pole, then pretty high. Now, we have a picture in the back that was drawn years ago, and the person took a picture that was Brother Branham had of some mountain ranges. There were 7 mountains out west, and he said those were the mountains he's talking about. So if you look at that picture, you'll see that, you know, they gradually get higher. And now the person did do a little bit of artistic whatever you call it and put the Tree of Life in the front of it. So that's not how the picture was, but I've seen the picture, and it was pretty much a desert in front of it. But there were 3 outstanding peaks, etc. Okay, now, you know the sign in the hand, then there's a little interval in there, the time that I was taken off from being too tired. Many of you remember it. And then came the discernment, and then the second pole. Now, I've had another about a few years ago of just kind of little peaks. See, back, like my ministry wasn't, and then come the third. Okay, so what he's talking about is when he began to pray for the sick, he would lay his hands on a person and his watch would stop, okay? And his hands, he get little things running all over his hands. It looked like, you know, little bumps in the skin, but they just run all over his hands. Then he would tell the person what their disease was. But actually, he said, I actually knew what it was, but I wasn't permitted at that time or something to say that I knew it anyway. So then came the second pole, which was the action knowing. So you have the expression of the first pole, then you have it coming by Brother Bram telling the people through discernment what it was. Then came the spoken word, and that created things, saved lives, did other things, and etc. So 3 is the number of completion. See the third one. The next peak was 5, number of grace, and the next peak was 7, a number of perfection in the end. 6 days you shall labor, and the 7th is the Sabbath, the end of the week, the end of time. See, and I stopped and I showed it to Billy, and I looked at them, and he said, let that stand, okay? If there's ever a doubt in your mind, remember this place, come back here, all right? Then from Souls in Prison, he said, there'll be a ministry that'll show great wonders, Joel said, but there'll be no time for redemption. It's all over then. So you got to understand that there's no time for redemption when the second coming takes place. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. So we're coming to a time when the resurrection takes place and we'll be caught up. First of all, we'll be gathered together in that tent, and then in that box where we get our change, and the third pole is administered to us. And he said, then it's all over. There's no more mercy. So, and remember, people, when he said, when he opened the 7th seal, there's no more mercy. People, a lot of people in this, I knew ministers, and they taught this to people, and I couldn't understand how they could come up with that, but they believed that in 1963, when the seals were opened, that there's no more mercy. Have you ever heard that? You never heard that doctrine? Well, it was there. It's still there today. There's people, over in a certain country I went to, the people had asked me the question. They said, is there no more mercy? I said, well, as long as you walk in the light, as he is the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Well, we were taught that there's no more mercy. I said, well, whoever taught you was wrong. And I was standing in the same room with him, and I didn't know it was him. And so, anyway, sometimes I kind of speak, but you know what? It's the truth. So anyway, they were teaching that, basically, hey, I made it because I was there I you know, in 63, I had met the prophet and this and that, and so, you know, I know that I'm going to be there. But what about all those people? I asked the people, how many of you in here were even in the message when Brother Branham was around? And not a person, except for that guy, not a person raised their hands. I said, well, then I said, you're all lost, according to his doctrine. But I said, that's not what the Bible says. It says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. So as long as there's light, there's still time to walk with him, okay? Whew, I'm so glad of that, all right. But, I mean, there was ministers in Jeffersonville, not in the tabernacle, but in Jeffersonville and around Jeffersonville and all over the place that believed that same doctrine that, hey, we were there, but you're not, so we're saved, you're not, you know. There's no more mercy after 63. Well, then, you know what? If you came to the message, you might as well have just gone to a brothel or a bar or something, because, you know, there's no more mercy, right? Well, give me a break. You know, these people are liars. The Bible said that they would lie and wait to deceive, and that's what they are, as deceivers, all right? Now, from the souls in prison, there'll be a ministry that'll show great wonders. Joel said so. And there'll be no time for redemption. It's over. It's all over. The Lamb's done took his book and redeemed it, and redeemed is over. As Jesus first preached and was rejected, and then went and haunted those that were in there, preached to them that were in prison and could not repent. No time for salvation. That same ministry will have to repeat. Now, how did Jesus' ministry do all these things? He just said, he preached to them that were in prison and could not repent. When did he do that? After his, when he went down, after his death, he went down and preached to the souls in prison, right? Then he came back, and then he preached only to the elect. So the same ministry has got to repeat. If the same ministry, if Alpha's Omega, the same ministry has got to be the same, then that's taking place, okay? And so, What if that could be the third pole to the eternal lost? What if it is there? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is? God forbid, I got children, see? But it surely looks to be pretty close here. Now, you can see that Brother Branham, even in his thinking, was not fully sure. All right? So if he wasn't fully sure, we don't have to be fully sure. But we do know that he talks about Alpha becoming Omega, the same ministry that was in Alpha. So it repeats in Omega. Jesus had a pre-resurrection ministry, then he had a post-resurrection ministry, and in between he preached to the totally lost. So we do know that, all right? So could that be where Brother Branham's right now? His spirit, his soul is preaching to the totally lost? I don't know, because Jesus only did it for 3 days. But anyway, so... But I do believe, actually, a lot of people listening to tapes today, or did listen to tapes, and now they don't, and of course they're thus believe the sign people and, you know, all the people that left the message. I believe, like he said, my voice will haunt you one day. I believe that's happening now, okay? That message is going to the totally lost. And so what do the totally lost do? They try to prove that it's wrong so that they aren't being preached to, okay? So, and Jesus first preached and was rejected, and then went and haunted. Brother Branham said, my voice will haunt you, all right? That went and haunted those that were in there, preached to them that were in prison and could not repent. No time for salvation. That same ministry will have to repeat. That's something I never even thought of before, all right? Didn't care to, because I don't believe it concerns us, but it does concern others. Now, what if that could be the third pole to the eternally lost? What if it is there? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is? God forbid, I got children. See, sure, it looks pretty close here. From souls in prison now. So he was saying things that, I don't know if he knew when it was happening, but we've actually seen it happen. We've seen this message go out to thousands of people, millions of people. In this city alone, over 220 people that used to consider this their home church at one time or another, and they're gone. and they're riding bicycles, they're doing this and that. They don't believe the word, and yet they've heard the word, and they listen to the tapes. I remember one fellow riding a bicycle came by my house, and he said, "Well, do you believe this happened? Do you believe this happened?" You see, he got caught up into that. I call it disbelieve the sign, because the sign is the voice of God, okay? But in the days of Sodom, the first poll was to righteous Lot. The Bible said the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily, how then women acted and done. We remember, as it was in the days of Noah, what was doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, women, see, women. What was the days of Sodom? Women. The first message was Lot. They laughed at him to scorn. Then he sent another messenger, two or three of them, and they went down. And that was the second poll for Lot, for Sodom. But look at the one that he went last. Just more and more mercy. It was all over then, all over at that time. The third messenger that went down there, the third poll, what was he? What kind of ministry did he have? He set his elected. Listen, I'm just going to stop here again. Remember, last week we said something that was startling to me. It was, I'm sure, startling to you. But Leo, which is Pope's name, also refers to Leo the lion. And how could they be the same? Death and death. You got to remember, Leo represents a lion. A lion is a killer. God has come. The mercy's over. At when? When? At the second coming. So what's happened then? Murder. Not murder. Killing. All right? God destroys everything at that time. So, what happened in Lot? Destruction. Okay? You got the same principles all the way through the Bible. All right? So, what kind of a ministry did he have? Well, if the third poll is going on to the totally lost, then it's actually, you're looking at, if he could speak life to Hattie Wright, and now he's gone, and it's to the totally lost, then he's speaking death to those who heard, but they refused to listen. All right? He sat with the elected and told them what was taking place behind him. Is that right? But when he stepped off into Babylon, or into Sodom, excuse me, he wanted to find out, even Abram crying, if I could only find 50 righteous on down, if there only be 40, if there only be 30, 20. He was kind of negotiating with God. How about if there's only 10? And God said, well, even if there's only 10, I won't destroy it. Find 10. There wasn't 10. God destroyed it. Now, souls in prison now, listen. All those who rejected the message of the hour before, isn't that good? All those who rejected the message of the hour before doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed first before they went without mercy. Wow, things are clearing up for us, aren't they? Why do you think people that had to be falling away first? He's preaching to the totally lost now. That's the second poll. That's going on. I mean, that's the second part of that ministry that's preaching to the totally lost, okay? Noah shut up was a testimony. God shut the door after his third poll. After the third poll at Sodom, the doors were shut. There was no more mercy. The 10 couldn't be found. And the lost had the gospel preached that could not be saved, because it was been that way in every age. Every age reject the message before judgment, before judgment, before judgment. Do what? Reject the message. Have they done it? Is that appearing of that pillar of fire down yonder on the river? Is that appearing alone in the message of cutting the women and throwing the places where it should be? And rebuking those ministers who take the place with a denomination instead of staying on the word? When God's thoroughly vindicated that it's him and not some poor, ignorant, unlearned thing like a man? Is God, and have we now come to the spot that the third poll would return again to the lost eternally? Second coming is Like Noah, rains came, they lifted him up, but they drowned everyone else. Second coming, those who get their change and go up, but it's death to everyone else. And isn't he saying that there's a judgment that comes by rejecting the word before the actual judgments come? Huh? They're judged, so they're going to be here. They're judged right now because they don't believe the message. They will stay here and be part of the physical judgments. Souls in prison. Boy, I tell you, honestly, I never saw this stuff till today. I love the way that God's having me just read word by word and not just read it like a sentence. For souls in prison now, was that what the vision was give me as a little boy out yonder? And I went west and there's a golden cross of the gospel shining down and has declared the sign from heaven just exactly. You remember the cross was in a panoramic, like a pyramid also built. Could it be that it's the head part where it's ended and started here, coming up to the headship, like the pyramid coming up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then their capping of the stone? Could it be that? If that's it, where are we at? For souls in prison now. I hope it isn't, but it's got to be. It's going to be. Just remember, the ministries has to. They always dovetail just the same with the other one. It had to come then. God don't change. Think of it. Bite your conscience. Oh, that's a beautiful word. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth and find out where we're at. What if it is and you're still the way that you are? Then you just might as well walk. You're finished. Them that's outside, after the book is taken by the Lamb, the sixth seal is revealed and all the seals, it's over. It could be. I hope it isn't. It could be. See, this is where the people misinterpreted Brother Branham opening the seals. And he said, I didn't do it. He said, I'm telling you what he did. I'm not the Lamb. But the Lamb did these things when he died on the cross. He actually opened those seals, but they weren't revealed to mankind until the prophet came and told us what happened, okay? From souls in prison now. All right. Now, is that why this third pole has lingered so long? You notice the first pole, the second pole went from one to another. I predicted, you remember, when I first started with that about the first, and I said, there'll come a time that I'll even know the secrets of the heart. You remember how many? Why, all of you remember that in my meetings around. And one night just walked off into Regina up there and walked on the platform, Brother Baxter there, several thousand people. And a man walked up the platform and there it was. And from that time, it's been the same. Again, he says, but it's been years since I come off the field, about five years since I had come off. And what is it? What's done it? What has done this? Is that been why it was like it was in the beginning in Genesis, God's long suffering? Remember when he made the world, the seventh day, he made nothing. He rested. See, God was long suffering in that sixth year, not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. God was long suffering. So this time between the prophet going and where we're at today, God has continued, because the light is still here, allow us to walk in the light. That was a mercy. But those who rejected the walking in the light and then walked out of the light, it's darkness, it's not mercy, it's judgment. God allowed this time of a separating to take place till he's got the true or genuine believers who will go in the rapture, and you got the unbelievers and the make-believers that will, the judgments will fall on them. God was long-suffering. Again, also in Genesis 15, 16, if you want to put it down, or 16, 15, he told Abraham, over in that land of the Amorites, their iniquity. They were Gentiles now. I can't take you in there right now because the iniquity of the Amorites, the Gentiles, is not filled up yet. But I will judge them. I'll come in that fourth generation, and then I'll judge that nation with a rod of iron. Is that right? Well, isn't it strange that we're now living in the fourth generation of people coming into this message and believing this message, fourth generation? He couldn't let Abraham come into the land until the fourth generation were on the scene. Oh boy, there's so many parallels to that. It's just beautiful. I just want to cry right now. From souls in prison now, he said, has it been so long that God's long-suffering, the ministry constantly, through tape and everything else, has combed across the world to see if there's one more? But maybe that last one come in just recently. Has it been the iniquity that's been so long? If Jesus is the same, which he is, Hebrews 13 and 8, his message must be the same. Fixing to close his actions must be the same. So the Alpha's got to be repeating an Omega. Again, from souls in prison, if the first and second pull is without question, is there any question in your mind about the first and second pull? Did it come to pass just exactly like he said? Then why question the third? See, that's where the people that left the message, they're questioning the third pull. All right? So they don't believe the first two pulls either. They're trying to say, well, he had a gimmick or whatever. Then why question the third? Why would you question? The first two was identified by the scripture. I proved to you this morning that the third's identified by the scripture too. And we've already shown you several. All right. Now look upon the world and see where she's at. Look how that they have rejected the truth and how it's been properly identified, the prophecy part. Now listen, he said, look at the world. You can look at the world today and you didn't see those things taking place back then. Not 60 years ago. You didn't see the end time insanity in the world like it is today. You didn't see purple hair on anybody back then. You didn't see a Mohawks with the purple and red, white, and blue, whatever. You didn't see all the tattoos on the bodies. You didn't see the piercings and, you know, eight piercings on their ear and in their belly button and, you know, on their nipples and, you know, it's just awful. It's like hell has opened up and what we are seeing is nothing but pure evil. All right? He says, where are we at? What about it? Where are we at? Makes my heart bleed on the inside. Again, from souls in prison, remember these seven peaks up there. They could tell you there's another peak yonder it's on the continental divide. It goes right into the desert from there on. Eternity sets in. Seven peaks right on the continental divide. That's the right between right and wrong. And at the end of that, the third pole was the last pole of the range. Is that right? Wow. From total separation of unbelief. Closing. I was telling you last night when I first come here, this is not personally, but if you think that, then please just pull down the curtains to your heart. I'm saying this to the people who believe. And let me just say this, all right? The third pole has been properly identified. I believe it'll be used for the bride in that tent, in the little room, when we get our change. It's the spoken word of God, like it was with Moses, like it was with Jesus. It's the same with William Branham. We're seeing the rejection of the third pole around us by those who have fallen away from this message. And the world is the standard Christian today would be considered a heathen back 60 years ago. Repulsive. I mean, with tattoos, pants, shorts, anything that goes, and they're doing it. They are not Christian people. They're blasphemers. And their blasphemy has gone up to heaven. If you think that, then please pull down the curtain of your heart. Okay, I'm only saying this to those who believe. It was spoken, told exactly what things would take place down through the age, and you're all witnesses of that, as you witnessed last night from the discernment on down. Who is all witnesses? I'm only speaking to those who believe. You who believe are witnesses to everything that's taking place. Wow. And how there'd be impersonators, impersonations, and everything take place. But the last thing was to be a great thing would take place. I've been watching it for years, and we all know when it happened first. When a creation come into existence the third time, and then the fourth time. Last night I told you the fifth time it happened. And it's waiting for this council of churches when it unites. And the Protestants, if I speak Sunday morning, that's what I want to, I mean Saturday morning, that's what I want to speak on, see? Now, then when this gets together, then the Spirit of God always raises a standard against it, see? There's men sitting here tonight who's a witness of this. Brother, sister, we know the false prophet has been elected pope out of America. We're now waiting for the council of churches to get together openly with the Catholic Church. And when you see that happen, redemption draweth nigh. Raise up your head, for redemption draws nigh, okay? Now, and then when this gets together, then the Spirit of God always raises a standard up against it. That's the word. See, there's men sitting here tonight who's a witness of this. And the word is already, the standard is already going out. William Branham already told us it's going to happen. And now we're just sitting here in this realm watching it happen. And others who left the message are sitting and looking at the same thing you're looking at, but they see something different. We see hope. They see damnation. Why people are so tossed about, that's a good title of a sermon. Then he taken me from there, and I seen a great huge tent, and I never seen such a tent. And it was packed and lined everywhere with people. Now, I've been in tents before. I've been in tents bigger than this church. I've been in tents three times the size of this church. I've been in tents that are smaller than this church. But the one I saw in a dream was like 2 football fields long. I've never seen one that long. Now, I've been at the university. They've got, one's about the size of a football field, and they have an indoor football stadium and things like that. And in fact, in Minnesota, when I played, they had built a big one, but it was only the size of 1 football field. It wasn't the size of 2, all right? And Brother Branham is saying it's huge, okay? And it was packed and lined everywhere with people. And I walked out, looked like I was standing above the people. Remember that? I was standing above the people. So he's looking down at the people. Where's he at? In another dimension, higher. Looking down. Where I just made an altar call, and hundreds of people were weeping and rejoicing after they had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I looked and then heard a man get up and say, call the prayer line, and people begin to line up over on this side. The left from where I was looking down towards the platform, and they lined all the way up and down the street for a prayer line. And I noticed to my left, which would have been to my right if I was on the platform, but he wasn't. Did you catch that? If I was on the platform, a little wooden box was on the platform. And I've seen that light that they have the picture of, you know, that's always in the meetings. And I seen that light leave me and go to that building and go in that building. And a voice said to me, I'll meet you in there. That will be the third pole. So you see, it's in that tent in the box. And we're going there. Now, I hope we all make it. I believe we will. Why? He said, well, it won't be a public show like they had it. You know, people are looking for Brother Branham to come back and go to Washington, D.C. and have a standoff with the government and this and that. They all just don't know what they're talking about. Look at this scripture. Jesus didn't have a public show when his third pole took place, but he spoke fish and had fish and bread upon the fire. How'd he get them there? He had to speak them, because that was the third pole of his ministry. It's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And he said, well, it won't be a public show like they had it. And I came, and now at the beginning of this new year, back to my tabernacle where I started from, see, back to where, to the beginning where I started, I'm very grateful to God for these things. I'm sitting here now realizing that I've read this 1,000 times. How many have read this at least 100 times? Did you ever understand what he's even talking about? Do you understand now? You got a pretty good idea, don't you? He said, well, it won't be a public show like they had it, and it came down. Okay, so what is a vision? And just then, now, here's something. I thought I was going to get up here and have a really boring sermon. And, you know, not boring, but, you know, just read a bunch of quotes. But it's not that way. He's here. He's here. He's revealing. All right? And just then, now, here's something. Notice close. Here's the difference between the angel of the Lord and the light, because I heard something moving, as it does when it comes at the platform at night, kind of like Brother Brian makes the sound, and like a fire whipping around, licking blaze, and left me, and it went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building, all right? Then settled down on top of it, and then when it did, this one that was standing by me, behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there. Where? The little building in the tent. And this is the third pole, but nobody will know nothing about it. And the people that came out were rejoicing and didn't know what went on. They didn't know what went on. They didn't know how they were healed. They didn't know what happened. They just came out of that box and they were a totally young person again. Oh boy. And I said, well, I don't understand why in there. Why there? And he said, it will not be a public show this time. Now, when Jesus created fish, it was 5,000 witnesses. All right? When Hattie Wright, there was witnesses. When Meta Branham, her tumor, there was witnesses. When the squirrels, well, Brother Branham told it to hundreds of people, thousands of people. But this time it'll be nobody except for the person being changed, and he don't know what's happening to him. And said, I don't understand going into that closet to like that. You know, that's what he called the... So it wasn't a big room. And he said, is not it written by our Lord, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites who like to be heard before men, but enter into a secret closet and pray to the Father who seeth thee in secret, and he who seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. I hope it's on our hearts that when it's our turn to go into that little room, we'll remember what he said right here, and we'll know that we are praying in a closet. And God, who hears us in the closet, rewards us openly, and we get our change. I believe the prophet will be there to pray over us. It's perfectly to the scripture. Every time it is, and I said, I understand. Then he took me to this place and set me down in this room where I was at, and then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, Christian friends, when I leave this world, that'll still be in my bosom. But you mark my words, what's going to take place that. So he's letting you know, even if he is taken off the scene, he will come back and he will use it. Revelation 10:7 is a really wonderful thing, because the Lord comes for the Jews, but he comes to take away you and I. questions and answers on the seals. Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian. In other words, don't go around with a Bible stuck under your arm and go to work that way and let everybody know that you're a Christian. That's not what he's saying. All right? He's not saying don't be a big bragger and show how Christian you are. No. You take yourself away from God if you do. If you can understand it, this is that third pole. And what is it? It's secret. You should have caught that the other day, see? So then just remember, there'll be no impersonation like that was on the other two. See? So that, as far as you that's as far as you should know. Now just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room, and there's something here. There's actually in this room angels, voices of God. See? But how do you can't, if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now, I just like to say this at this time. If the brothers had taken my notes like in years past, and just took my notes that I had before the sermon was preached, they still wouldn't understand what I'm saying today. But now Brother Sam gets my sermon. He sends it to me on Monday. Now remember, he's 6 hours ahead. So in the morning he gets up, he marries what I'm saying audibly with the PDF. Then all the words that I'm saying today will be placed on that PDF. I'll go through it. He goes through it first, and he just spelling checks and words that are not understandable in his language. Because he speaks English very well, but not like we do. Okay, so I might say something, and he'll put it in highlight in green. Then I'll go through it. Then I'll recall what I said and put down what I mean. Then I send it back to him once it's all done, and then he gets it ready. He sends it through another program, puts it into six languages. Then those brothers take it. It's 99% accurate at that point. Then they take it and they go through it, and they listen to audibly, and they go through it, and they maybe, like in French, it's in a masculine word instead of a feminine, you know, there's a E, like OS instead of ES or something like that. Spanish too. They'll make the correction there. Then it'll go out onto our website. By Wednesday, everybody in the world that comes to the website has it to read again. So that's what's happening. You people are hearing words today. Not just following a script, but you're actually hearing what God is showing us, okay? I'm not a prophet, but I am an apostle. And I've seen enough of the Holy Spirit in my life. 43 or 47 different times I've been witness to his being with this ministry. God only knows why, because I'm a schluck, okay? But I'll take it. It's him doing it. Don't speak against it. Just take what he's saying, okay? Now, just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room, and there's something here, and there's actual in this room, angels, voice of God. See, but if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it to it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Okay? From Q&A on the seals. Now, but see, you can't say those things. Best to just leave it alone. And remember, the third pole, it said, don't tell nobody. What did I say that? How many remembers that? Now listen, another thing come to me. Why would God be showing us these things now? Are we that close? I think we are. Now how many remembers that? Oh, sure. Remember standing there trying to lace that eyelet in that little shoe in the vision. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. And I said, this will be the third pole, and it will not be known, so help me, by the grace of God, Now, we're right down at the end time now. Won't be too long until mercy seat will become the judgment seat. He didn't say become, he said be. But that means become. All right, so we're coming to a place, brother, sister, the mercy that's been given us, it's going to turn to judgment for those who rejected it. We will pick up where we left off here next week. Well, that's what I took out for last Sunday's sermon. I know now why God had me preach on that Pope last week and preach this today, because I wouldn't have known if I hadn't been in the right position. And God's got me in the right position today. Now, the seventh seal, he said, if you want something to happen, now you'll have to take my word for this. I'm planning on doing something I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that a person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See, you can't get it in my heart. You can't get in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God, see? We don't know nothing about it until you speak. Then he hears it. And I'll do a certain thing and watch the devil cut off every will he can to get there, see? To beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Well, why is he showing us things today? Why did the head of the FBI, 8647 Trump this week, green lighting the go-ahead for another assassination attempt of the president? Why? Because maybe he goes, I don't know. And if he does, you think all those countries that made deals with America will stick to them? Then that depression that Brother Brown talked about is right around the corner, brother, sister. And our going home is right around the corner, too. So he don't know nothing about it till I speak it. Then he hears it. And out in the people, I'll do a certain thing and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, see? To beat me to it, and I think he's going to do it now. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate it. He will try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He's tried to do it. And you know, Brother Branham, with his own words, told us here what it is, but it was revealed and held back until we see those things today. We've noticed it through the Antichrist, but this is the one thing that he can impersonate. There'll be no mimics to this, see, because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pole. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. And from the seventh seal, he said, and just then he picked me up and took me up and set me up on high to where a meeting was going on and looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And as I said before, when I spoke about what I saw in my dream, the tent looked like a cathedral because it was all round. The edges were round. It wasn't like the old tent, you know, the old tent like this and had straight sides. It was round like a blown up tent. And they didn't have back in his day, they didn't have the engineering to do that. But they do today. I remember when I told Brother Billy Paul that dream, he just got to shouting. Because he had just put some money in the bank, and I think that was designated to be used for the tent, and it's going to cost a hefty bit. So just keep praying that it will be used in the right way. All right? And just then he picked me up, and he took me up and set me up on high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or cathedral of some sort. And I looked there, and there was a little box, like, remember, closet box? Little place over on the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. And that light that you see there on that picture, it whirled away from me like that and went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you in there. The light? You mean the pillar of fire? Yeah. You know, Brother James, he said, first time I came into that presence, I was 8 feet from Brother Branham. And then that, when the Holy Spirit came into the room, I was only 8 feet away. I was only 16. I didn't understand what was going on, but I could feel that holy presence. My wife told me she saw Brother Branham when she was 8 years old. And she said, all I can remember about it was there was such a holy presence. Now, there wasn't the man, but it was a God that was with the man. All right? But you don't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And he said, this will be the third pull, and you won't tell nobody to nobody. And there are three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded today and yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it. And this is the third pull up, coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. From standing in the gap. And there was three outstanding peaks, he said. Those three peaks are the first, second, and third pull. The first one was your first part of your ministry, small hill. Then your first pull, pretty high. You know, sign in the hand. Then there's a third interval in there, the time that I was taken off from being too tired. Many of you remember it, and then come the discernment, the second pull, and now I've had another about a few years here of just kind of little peaks back like my ministry wasn't just, and then come to the third one. Three is a number of completion. See, the third one. The next peak was five, number of grace, and the next peak was seven, a number of perfection, the end. 6 days shall ye labor, the seventh is a Sabbath, the end of the week, the end of time. The end of time. See? And I stopped and I showed it to Billy, and I looked at them and I said, let that stand. If there's ever a doubt in your mind, remember this place, come back here. And from indictment. Now, the Lord confirm it right now while I'm before your throne. Take every one of these people, Lord. Take the world out of us. Isn't that what Brother Don said? He said he's unpacking. Take me, Lord, while we're in your presence. Just take the word, wring our hearts. God, right now, the world and the cares of the world and the care of the world away from us. Let us be consecrated Christians, O God, to be loving and kind and sweet, forbearing the fruit of the Spirit, won't you, Lord? I love that quote that you just sent out also, that God is looking for us to come to that place where we're just forgiving people. We're not going to hold any grudges. We're not going to get mad because somebody said something that we didn't like, even though many times you hear what they didn't even say. All right? You hear your own imagination. We're before your throne. Sin has left a crimson stain on every one of us, but your blood can remit it, Lord, and make it as white as snow. Grant it while we're waiting upon thee. You don't think the Lord can make someone that is your loved one free of all sin? You might be looking through your eyes, but you better start looking through God's eyes. Take us. We are yours. Consecrated our lives to you. Have we not done that? How many have not done that? All right. In Jesus Christ's name, grant it, Lord, to each one of us. Wring my heart. Lord, I see my errors. I see my mistakes. God, from this time, I'm trying to live the best that I can to help you. I want to consecrate my life anew to you across here this morning, and I hope every one of us is doing the same thing. After bringing this indictment against my clergyman friends out there, and I have to say these hard things, but Lord, I did it by your inspiration. I feel that you told me to do it. Now it's off my shoulders, Lord. I'm glad that it's off. Let them do it, whatever they will. Let them do with it whatever they will, Father. I pray that they'll accept it. I pray that you'll save everyone, Lord. May there come forth a revival of the just and the great power come among the church just before it's going. It's not hard to pray because you promised it. Can you all be praying for that revival among us? A renewing of our pledge to live a godly Christian life? And we're looking, Lord, for that third pole that we know that'll be a great thing for us in our midst. From Why Cry Speak, he said, why cry to me? Why are you crying to me when I proved to be with you? Haven't I healed your sick? He'd say, haven't I told you things that's happened just exactly? Your pastor can't do that. Me, he can't. He's a man. It's me, the Lord, that he would say, I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that tells these things for him to say. It's not him. It's my voice. I'm the one that raises up your dead when they drop down. I'm the one that heals the sick. I'm the one that foretells these things. I'm the one that does the saving. I'm the one that gives the promise. God, give me courage to take that sword of the word that he put in my hand about 33 years ago and hold it and march forward to the third pole is my prayer. Let's bow our heads. And I think it was after this. Yeah, this is in 51. No, it wasn't. Like I speak, was later than that. 63. Well, it was after this that God actually physically put that sword in his hand. Okay? And he asked him for it. He said, give me courage to take that sword of the word that he put in my hand spiritually, okay? About 33 years ago, and what did he do in 64:5 was? He was in Arizona, and that sword appeared to him. I've got a replica of it in my office. Brother Vail saw it at an auction, or not auction, but a flea market, and he was with Brother Branham, and when he held that sword, Brother Branham said, that looks just like the one that he placed in my hand, so he bought it. And he said, you can have it. Brother Branham said, no, he said, I've had the original. I don't need that one. So he kept it and he gave it to me. All right. Now, humble thyself. The people that I have tried to tell this gospel truth to, and they turn their back on it and walk away and laugh at it. Now, to me, that seems like it's an insult. I don't care to me, but to the things that I've been saying, it's the truth trying to help them, like shoving out a boat and say, here it is, cross over, and here, get out of that swelling stream, you're going to die. You're going to perish there. And they just laugh at it and walk away. That's what they've done, isn't that? Well, to me, it feels like if they walk away, there's nothing more I can do about it, see, that I can do. But I want to run down the bank now and persuade them, come on back. See, I've got to have that feeling, see, because I know there's somebody out there that hasn't come in yet. And I'm going to fish till, and he said, the last fish is caught. And I want to do that now. And now in order to do this, I'm expecting something to happen in my prayer meeting, something. And many of you remember the vision of the last pole, that third pole, rather. You remember there was something happened just before that. I seen that light come and go down into that place and said, I'll meet you there. Now, and I'm looking for something to happen. And from humble thyself. And I'm looking for something to happen to start that third pole into March, see? And maybe the next Sunday morning, healing service, maybe produce that, I don't know, from humble thyself again. So much was said till I couldn't say nothing to make it any better. And I truly believe that it was the Lord that worked out for Brother Vail to bring this message after this morning. Because you see, it has to work that way. We accept that from God. What? And there's so many things that he was saying. I had 20 sermons wrote down here right off of what he said. Well, that's, you know, he speaks pretty fast. Okay, so you're going to get 20 sermons. And I was thinking here of one little illustration to back up what he said. Now, we look at this watch to find out what time it is. Unless that every instrument in that watch is coordinated one with the other, we'll never know the correct time. Is that right? And that takes all of us all together. If we want to see the third pole really do something for God in coordination with every one of us together to humble ourselves before God and confess our wrong and pray and believe God for these things, and then from Christ is the mystery. Not knowing, of course, being spiritual, you watch spiritual things. And not knowing this, God knows it, but if you turn and look at that clock, it's on the dot, 2 o'clock, the end of the second pole, the third is at hand. That was 63. How can I overcome? Now, if you know any peoples around anywhere that's sick and wants to be prayed for, you bring them here tonight. See? Now, if you have to bring them anyway, get them here. See? That's the main thing, is to bring them here tonight. We'll all meet together that way. It's hard to make calls going place after place. Then you leave off something and there's a hard feeling. Now, if I can get them over, if I can get them all in one place, then I can pray for them. Now, and if the people wants to be prayed for, you say, will they? Oh, certainly. They'll be prayed for. Bring them on in, Lord willing. We'll be here, pray for everyone, because I feel that the third pole is beginning to move. You see, it's within me, and I want to pray for everybody. What's that last sentence say? It's within me, and I want to pray for everybody. Will that happen in the tent, in the room? I believe so. From souls in prison. And notice when the third pole of his ministry come. The first was healing the sick. The second was rebuking their organizations and prophesying what they had done. What they were and what was coming. What is it? What will come? What was? What is? Will come? That's what he done. Is that right? But his third pole was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. You got 2.5 million people that claim to believe the message, and probably another few hundred thousand that have totally rejected the message, and probably 2 million people within the message who reject something, one piece here, one piece there. They don't take it all. Brother Ben told me when they have meetings in Uganda, they're not even allowing to mention Brother Bram's name. That's a rejection right there. Well, they were down there where them big painted eyes was, preached to the souls in prison in hell, souls in hell, that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God, yet they had to recognize what he was because God made him there. Wonder if his ministry climbing out the same way in the last days as it was. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The works that I do shall you do also. And from souls in prison now. Lost could never be saved. They had rejected mercy. That was his third pole. Now, is there any question? His first pole, he healed the sick. Is that right? His second ministry, he was prophesying. His third ministry was preaching to the eternal lost. The three mountains and so forth, the lost eternal. You think the people that refuse to go to church, refuse to gather together, and think they can stay home and just listen to a tape, are going to make it? I don't know, brother, sister. But I know one thing. There'll be many people that listen to tapes, and his voice will haunt them at that time. Listen, all those who rejected the message of the hour before doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed before doomed first before they went without mercy. Noah shut up was a testimony. God shut the door after his third pull. After the third pull at Sodom, the doors were shut. There was no more mercy. The 10 couldn't be found. The 2 million plus that are left behind, and that's giving grace for 500,000. The 2 million plus that will be left behind who have heard that voice, that same voice that saved the 500 or 5,000 or whatever the number will be, is the same voice that's going to haunt those people that are left behind. I hope you're not one of them. Noah shut up was a testimony. God shut the door after his third pull. After the third pull at Sodom, the door was shut. There was no more mercy. The 10 couldn't be found. Now, Brother Sam, just speaking to you, when you hear me say something over again, please include it for the translation. And the lost had the gospel preached that could not be saved because it was yet. Been that way in every age reject the message before judgment. Haven't they done it again? Is that appearing of that pillar of fire down yonder on the river? Is that appearing alone in the message of cutting the women and throwing the places where it should be and rebuking those ministers who takes the place with the denomination instead of staying with the word when God's thoroughly vindicated that it's him and not some poor, ignorant, unlearned thing of like a man? It's God. And have we now come to the spot that the third pole would return again to the totally lost? And the congregation says, amen. Amen. All right. Just a few more. From Souls in Prison Now. Not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing in the Spirit, not by joining the church, not by fruits of the Spirit. Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that, see, and deny even that Jesus Christ was divine. Not that, but it's the Word living. There it is. If they would have looked, he was Messiah. He was a living Word made manifest. And a man that's got the Spirit of God in him, a woman, lives, that word lives right out of them. That's the heartbeat, the predestinated. For the word of the Lord comes to them, and they are the word to the people. Written epistles, read of all men, is that right? Could the third pole be on? So he's in prison now. And we're just about close. Tape people. Okay, listening to them. Tape people, that's you that's listening to the tapes. I wish you could look at this congregation at this time. I hope you're feeling the same way. What if it is? Look at the scriptures piled in here. Could it be? Is the third pole to preach to the eternal doom that's rejected the message of salvation? Why, you say the church is going. Yeah, they will. They'll go right on just the same, be remembering. But remember, all this time Noah was in the ark. Huh? Are we in Christ? The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed. Sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings them back to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owed, what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's all been that third pull. And from look away to Jesus. Just when Abraham needed a ram, God provided the ram. And he provided the squirrels. He could speak a squirrel into existence. God providing the ram. Is that Abraham's third pull? The spoken word, believing it. The squirrels, believing it. He could speak a squirrel into existence because he's a creator just the same as he could speak the ram. Abraham never asked for it. It was simply going on to do it. Remember, the people said, well, Brother Bram, if you ask for it, could you do those things? He said, listen, I never asked for it. He told me what to say. You see the difference? When I said that, a humble little woman, for the first time this ever happened, the third pole on a human being, was a little humble woman that making about $200 a year for a living, and all she got out of her little farm, her husband dead, two children that had turned wild again, kind of wild, and come and donate $20 of that to the building of this tabernacle. And Mita had given me some money that morning for groceries, $20, and I was going to give it back to her that day while I was down there, so she wouldn't have to pay it, but she wouldn't take it. And then she was sitting back in the corner, and when I said, "Only thing I know that he's still Jehovah Jireh," and little Hattie said, "That's right." How many little Hattie Wrights do we have in here this morning? Can you all say in unison, "That's right"? Ready? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you're showing us these things today, and not knowing why, but knowing that you are in full control. So, Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And help us, Lord, to be lovable. Help us to treat each other decent. Help us not to be critical of what someone else says. And let us just ask them to repeat it so that we know for sure what they said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.